Soy Paola Marizán, and this is ¿Qué pasa Midwest?
¿Qué pasa Midwest?
¿Qué pasa Midwest?
¿Qué pasa Midwest?
Telling the stories of Latinos from the homeland to the heartland. Y en este episodio, I get a little bit personal. Hablemos de casa. In this episode, I share with our co-producer, Maria Thomas, how moving from my home country at age 6 made me feel displaced, how domestic violence led me y mi mamá to be refugees, and how now that I'm older, tengo que encarar and deal with depression, which is a taboo topic in the Latino comunidad because it can be viewed as a sign of weakness. Escucha.
So what is your answer usually for where you were from?
Usually I say I'm from Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Is where I was raised. Mm-hmm. So,
but where are you really from?
Well, I'm really, really, really from the Dominican Republic. You know, I was born in the Dominican Republic. My parents are both Dominican, but I moved from the Dominican when I was about 6 years old. So mm-hmm. I lived in Puerto Rico for 10 years or more. So I just feel like that was kind of what I made my home at that time.
And when you were 6 when you moved from Dominican Republic?
Yeah.
To Puerto Rico?
No, I moved to New York first. And that's where I actually aprendí inglés there. That's mm-hmm. where I learned my English. And then I moved from New York to Puerto Rico.
How did you end up moving from Dominican Republic to New York?
Well, my mom married someone from the United States. And, you know, they started the process to kind of move to another country because that's where they wanted to reside. But actually, we moved because the relationship wasn't so good. Mm-hmm. And this is something that a lot of Latino families don't talk about, is domestic violence. And my mom was a victim of domestic violence. So we moved because we were running away. You know, we were kind of just wanting to leave that relationship. And I know this is a topic that muchos de los Latinos, we really don't talk about it, but we are going to talk about this topic in another episode here in our show.
And then you said you ran away. Did you move somewhere else in New York?
Yeah, we moved like 3 times New York. Yeah, in a matter of 1 year. To me, you know, I was little, so mm-hmm. it was kind of all the same. You know, Estío Nueva York, which is what we call it in Spanish. Mm-hmm. but, you know, yeah, we moved a lot. So by the age of 7 years old, I had already moved 5 times.
So what was it like moving from Dominican Republic, a Spanish-speaking country, to New York, where even though there's a lot of diversity, it is in like a primarily English-speaking country?
Yeah. You know, it was a culture shock. I remember that when I first got there, they introduced me to a little girl that was living in the house where we actually had sheltered. Mm-hmm. We were refugees. So I remember playing with her, and I had no idea what she was saying. You know, mm-hmm. I would just say gibberish things to her back because I had no idea what she was speaking. So it was really interesting. I think because I was little, I didn't have as much of a culture shock as my mom did. Mm-hmm. But for her, it was impactful, you know. And sorry, get a little emotional. But just like moving away, you know, running away from a violent environment and a violent household to a place where you don't know anybody, where you don't know the language, you know, that was really shocking.
And I mean, you were little, you were just a kid, like 6 years old, but did you know if your mom was trying to get back home to the Dominican Republic, or was it kind of set that you were going to stay there in New York?
I think at that time, I really didn't realize how permanent not going back to my country was going to be. I just really didn't think about all the things that were going on at the same time. And I don't know, I always thought I was going to go back to see my cousins, to play with my family, to talk to my aunts and my uncles. It was just, yeah, to me, it was nothing permanent. You know, it was just temporary.
Mm-hmm. And how did you end up moving to Puerto Rico from New York?
So the person that my mom was running from actually found us in New York. Mm-hmm. And he made us move back to Puerto Rico with him. That's where he was from. And that's why I say move back, because mm-hmm. that's where he was residing at that time. So we, you know, we were forced to go to Puerto Rico and, you know, start from scratch. Mm-hmm. So by the time I went to Puerto Rico, I was 8 or 9 years old.
And what was that transition like?
Uy, difícil. Difícil, because when I first got there, you know, I was like, you know, they speak Spanish and they look more like me. And it was just more familiar, you know, even though I've never been there before. I was so young. Going to school was different. And that's when I really started growing up. Moving so much as a Latino, and I'm sure muchos se pueden relacionar conmigo cuando digo esto. It's kind of hard to move so much mm-hmm. and kind of feel like you're part of some place, like you have a home. It's not like that. I had to grow up quickly, not only because there was violence in my home, but also because there were just so many changes going on that I had to adapt to, that I didn't really have time to be a child.
And how did your mom get out of that situation? Did she get out of that relationship after moving to Puerto Rico?
Yeah, we moved there and we were living with this person for about a year and a half or 2 years. And I remember, like, it was yesterday. Mi mamá, she called the police one day and they took us to a shelter. And that was the second time I've been a refugee. I was about 9 or 10 years old. And we lived in a shelter for about 3 months. And then we transitioned from there to, you know, public housing. And we kind of went through all the processes that, you know, I'm sure a lot of people go through, you know. But like I said, just moving so much was such a, I don't know, I even today, you know, it pains me a little bit. Even though I'm older now, I'm way older. It makes me think of, you know, I really didn't have like a set place that I call home. I didn't have friends that I grew up with that I can say, oh, these are my childhood friends. This is my school that I went to for so long, you know. It's not something I have.
So how did you get here?
To Indiana, wow. Well, I came here, you know, I was in Puerto Rico. I started college in Puerto Rico. I did my first year there, and then I decided to apply, you know, to go to the United States. Part of the reason was because I feel like Puerto Rico wasn't my home, mm-hmm. you know. I feel like the Dominican Republic wasn't my home. The Dominican Republic was a place that I hadn't been in like 10, 12 years. You know, I will occasionally go and visit and see my family members and, you know, say hi to my grandma and things mm-hmm. like that. But it was always for the summer, so it wasn't really my home. And Puerto Rico wasn't mi casa anymore, just because I was exposed to violence there too. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just didn't feel like I belonged. You know, it wasn't my root years that I spent there. And, you know, to some extent, I have made a place here in the Midwest, you know, but it's still not home. And that's one of the things that I feel like a lot of Latinos can relate to, is that the Dominican Republic is not my home, Puerto Rico is not my home, and now the United States is not my home. I feel like I'm an outsider everywhere I go. You know, if I go to Puerto Rico, they call me Domi because I'm Dominican. But if I go to the Dominican, they call me Bori because I was raised in Puerto Rico. And they also see me as like an American because I didn't grow up around my culture. That's exactly why, you know, I feel like it was so important that we did this episode. Mm-hmm. Is because there is a lot of Latinos that feel like the Latino diaspora is real. You really don't feel at home anywhere. And you get depressed. Depression is a real thing. And in the Latino community, no nos gusta hablar de eso. We don't talk about that at all. We just try to avoid it. We try to be tough. Personally, I have gone through depression for a really long time. And I think that's part of it. That was mm-hmm. that was a big part of it, not only because I was in an environment of violence, but because I just never had that shelter, you know, that place where I could go back and feel safe. I think there's hope for everybody, especially, you know, if there's anybody battling with depression right now. You know, we just want to say that you're not alone. This happens to a lot of us, and you should look for help. Actually, Sofia Paliza, our editor, told us when we were making this episode is that you definitely want to tell people that there is hope, because there is hope. Selena Gomez, she has gone through a lot of depression, and one of the things that she said is, if you are broken, you don't have to stay broken. So mm-hmm. please, to anybody who's listening to this, you know, seek help, talk to a friend. It is hard to not feel like you have a home, but you shouldn't just stay with that within you.
So I hope that people who hear this episode know that, one, you're not alone, and two, it's okay to talk about it. And it doesn't make you weak. I think it takes a lot to reach out and ask for help. And why suffer alone when you don't have to?
Bueno, hemos llegado al final de este episodio, pero queremos decirte una vez más que you're not alone. Many people like me experience the feeling of diaspora, of not belonging. But that doesn't mean you can't build a casa somewhere else o que tienes que sufrir solo. Busca ayuda, como hice yo. In our page, help hotlines and websites are listed for anyone seeking to talk y encarar el problema head on. Gracias por escuchar mi historia. Subscribe for more on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Esto es ¿Qué pasa Midwest?
¿Qué pasa Midwest?
¿Qué pasa Midwest?
¿Qué pasa Midwest?
Telling the stories of Latinos from the homeland to the heartland.